Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin, and part of the passage that we'll be discussing is in there. I told Carol we'd be speaking on chapter 21, verses 1 through 12 or 11, and I actually want to read down to verse 17 this morning, okay? If you don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, we would like to give you a Bible. You can come to me and I'd be happy to give you one. We've got brand new Bibles just for you. So if you'd like one, please let us know. If you'd like a specialty Bible, we can order you one. We ordered Jamie and Megan a couple of nice Holman study Bibles, and they're really nice. And so if you'd like one of those, you can purchase one of those. We'll order it for you. So just let us know, okay? Well, today is Palm Sunday, so let's read Matthew chapter 21 on the account here of the first Palm Sunday. It says in verse 1, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise." Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Today we're going to be talking about Palm Sunday. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Aw, shucks, the one Sunday I miss, Jesus shows up." Well, today is Palm Sunday, and not only is Jesus with us today, he will also be one, I hope he will also be the one that we focus on today. For most of Jesus' ministry, he avoided the limelight. But that day in Jerusalem, the day we call Palm Sunday, Jesus allowed himself to be the focus of praise and adoration as a king. This was the day Jesus showed up at the temple, and boy, did he make a big impression. He made his presence known. He stormed into the temple with a holy disdain for what he had saw. He saw the carnality, the greed, the manipulation, the deception, and the false teachings there in the temple. And he proceeded to rid the temple of the money changers and declared that the house of the Lord should be a place of prayer, not a den of thieves. He then began to heal people, and children began to praise him. This was quite an eventful day for Jesus, starting out by getting a donkey and riding on it into town, having people praise him, then storming the temple and cleansing the temple of those who were corrupting it, and then seeing him heal the lame and the blind there in the temple. To the point where the little children, as they saw him doing this, cried out in praise to him. It is interesting to see the reactions of the people this day. You know, I often like to do people watching. Do you ever do that, people watching? You know, when Christy and the kids want to go to the mall and they want to go to all the stores, I don't want to go to all the stores. So I sit on one of those chairs that they have out in the middle aisles of the mall, and I just watch people. I watch them go by. I watch the people in the Mohawks go by, the ones with the purple hair go by, and all that. And I just think, now, what made that person think that looked good? You know, whatever. You know, you ever do that? It's kind of entertaining to do people watching. Well, that's kind of what I'd like us to do today, is do a little people watching here in this passage of Scripture, and kind of see the reactions of the people as Jesus exposes himself, as Jesus comes out into the limelight for the very first time in many cases, and shows himself as a king and reveals himself as who he really is, the Son of God, okay? And so I want us to take a look at this, and as we take a look at this passage, I want us to make sure our reaction to Jesus is what it ought to be. Now, the disciples showed their reaction to Jesus in obedience to him because of his their close relationship with him. Now, as we read verses 1 through 6, I won't read it again for time's sake, but we see that Jesus makes an unusual request to the disciples. He says, go into the opposite town, and there you're going to find a donkey and a foal. And what I want you to do is I just want you to take those and bring them to me. And if anyone asks you about it, just tell them the Lord has need of these. Now, that's quite an unusual request. Understand, I don't think this was a pre-planned thing that Jesus did with the owners of this donkey and this colt. It was in the opposite town. They hadn't been in that town for months. It would have been an unusual circumstance for them to be able to do this. This was a miracle. This was a miracle from the Lord Jesus. We're also told that this donkey was never ridden. It was an untrained donkey. Now, have you ever heard the term stubborn as a mule? Well, can you imagine riding this donkey into town that has never been broken, and they're incredibly shy as well, and this crowd starts forming around this donkey. Yet this donkey just keeps on going right into Jerusalem with Jesus on it. So really, this is a miracle. But can you imagine, as Jesus is telling the disciples that they should go into the opposite town and get this donkey and just say, don't worry about it. If someone asks you about it, just tell them the Lord has need of it. That they might be thinking, wow, this is quite an unusual request. How's this going to work out? This doesn't make any sense, right? Well, Because they knew Jesus, and they knew he could work out anything he wanted, they did it without question. They just went and did exactly what he said. They obeyed. They obeyed him. Now, they might have been thinking in their minds, wow, this is kind of strange. But they also were thinking, but Jesus has done stranger things before. We've seen him do things strange, and we know that he can work things out. So we're going to just do what he says. Isn't that the reaction that we should have when Jesus puts us in a situation that seems awkward or doesn't seem like it's going to work out, or we can't figure it out on our own? Well, yes, it should be our reaction. Our reaction to Jesus should be total obedience to him, regardless of whether we can see how it's going to work out or not, regardless of whether we think it's unusual or not. You see, because Jesus is so powerful and all-knowing that he can work out any situation that he calls you into. That is what we need to understand. When we obey him, it is the ultimate act of showing our love to him. We've often, the last couple months, heard this verse from John 14 or 15. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. If you love the Lord, you'll keep his commandments. And what an expression of love these disciples showed as they simply obeyed the commandment of Jesus, even though it may have seemed a little strange to them. Sometimes Jesus leads us down a path that we don't know how it is going to work out. But if we trust in him, he will work it out. He will work it out for our own good. Now, notice verses 7 through 9. Verses 7 through 9, it says, they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, the crowd exalted Jesus because they wanted temporal relief and gain. Now, understand, most of this crowd, now the disciples knew Jesus, and they put him on this donkey, and they were leading him along, and I'm sure they were initiating this worship of Jesus because they too wanted him to be the king that was going to free Israel from the Roman rule, okay, from the Roman Empire. But as they were going and praising the Lord, others gathered around Jesus, and a big crowd, a big multitude of people crowded around and exalted Jesus and praised him as the King, the Son of David. You know, they shouted Hosanna, which means save. These people really wanted Jesus to save them. But what they wanted him to save them from wasn't exactly what Jesus was thinking about saving them from. What they wanted to be saved from was the tyranny of the Roman Empire. What they wanted to be saved from was the oppressive taxes that they were being put under. Oftentimes, people come to Jesus for the temporary, and they lose sight of what Jesus really wants to do for them. They lose sight of the fact that Jesus wants to give them eternal life. He is an eternal king. They had failed to see that Jesus is the eternal king. Our relationship with Jesus should not be based on what Jesus can do for us just temporarily on earth, but what he has done for us for all eternity. Now, if we are focused on that, if we are focused on what Jesus has done for us through all eternity, then we can deal with the temporary. You understand? He wants us to recognize him first as the eternal Savior, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. That is what he wants us to focus on. And as we focus on his wonderful work of salvation that he has done for us, and we realize we have eternal life, that is when we will receive peace and comfort for here and now. That is when we will receive the comfort that we need to get through this temporary situation that we are in. Oh, Jesus may not turn around your temporary situation right now, but he will give you an eternal hope that will help you get through your temporary situation. That is what Jesus really wants to do for you. He wants to give you an eternal hope, one based on his death, burial, and resurrection, one that you can rely on no matter what happens, no matter who is in power, no matter who controls our government, no matter how many taxes we have to pay. And I know we pay a lot of taxes, amen? But we need to understand, we can get through this with peace and comfort in our hearts, not because Jesus is going to change our temporary situation, but because of the eternal situation that we have when we trust in him. That is the reaction that we want. It's amazing to me to think that the people that exalted and praised Jesus so that they would have their temporary problems fixed were the same ones that cried out a few days later, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It showed who the real worshipers of God were when it came down to, "I'm not getting my temporary situation changed." Then you find out who really wants to love the Lord, who really wants to serve him. We need to understand that. We need to see our relationship with the Lord Jesus as first and foremost a saving relationship where we have eternal life, not just one where he fixes all our, quote, problems. He will help you with those problems. He promises to help you with those problems. But he wants you to follow him in spite of your problems. So when you know what he has done for you eternally, you will have peace to face the temporary. Now look at verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. It says, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth.'" Now, people inquired about Jesus. People inquired about Jesus because of the attention he was getting. A lot of people are curious about Jesus Christ. They're curious. A lot of people this year went to see movies about Jesus because they're curious about him. They want to see what Jesus is all about. That's a good thing. We ought to be curious. Now, as Christians, we need to have the right answer for people when they say, "Who is this man? Who is Jesus?" We need to have the right answer. And we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to their heart at the same time so that he will draw them to his son, Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we want to do. People are curious. God has put in the heart of every man and woman the desire, the empty space in their heart to know God, to know God. And so Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. And we need to let people know who he is when they show curiosity, especially. So let's remember that. There are going to be people who come, they see the crowd, they see the cars in the parking lot, and they say, "I wonder what goes on in that church. I wonder who they are worshiping in that church. And we want to make sure we have the right answer. The crowd kind of didn't have the right answer here, did they? They said he's a prophet from Galilee, from Nazareth. Well, that's only a little bit true. He was way, way more than that, wasn't he? He is way, way more than that. And we want to make sure that when we see that people are curious about who Jesus is, that we're able to tell them he is the Savior of men's souls. And he will save your soul if you will put your faith and trust in his work that he did on the cross of Calvary. That's what we want to tell people. We want to make sure that when they ask this question, who Jesus is, we have the right answer. Then look at verses 15 and 16. It says, then, actually, let's go a little, right there, 15, 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Now, the children praised Jesus when they saw his greatness. The children praise Jesus when they saw his greatness. Now, as Jesus heals the blind and he heals the lame, the children are watching in astonishment. Can you imagine that? They're in the temple, and these blind people and these lame people are just coming up one by one, and he's healing them right in front of them. These children are looking at this and going, wow! Wow! Look what Jesus is doing. Now, they praised Jesus the same way, with the same words, as the multitude outside of Jerusalem. But Jesus makes a point of telling us that they worshiped him with a pure heart, that they worshiped him genuinely. They saw the greatness of Jesus, and that is why they gave him praise. It wasn't because they wanted Jesus to do something for them. It was because they saw how awesome Jesus is, and they just had to praise him for it. That's the kind of praise that we should have towards our Lord. We should see how awesome Jesus is, how wonderful he's been to us, how he's healed us and others in our lives, and give him the praise for it with a genuine heart of praise, simply praising him because of how great he is. That is the kind of praise that Jesus looks at and says, that's perfect. That's what I like. That is what we need. We need to be a church that looks at how awesome Jesus is and praise him for it. During our prayer revival, one of the things that we learned was adoration. And we looked at the wonderful attributes of Jesus and God, and we praised him for it. That's what we need to be doing. We need to see how great Jesus is and praise him for it. That is the reaction that we should have. So let's praise Jesus with genuine praise. Finally, I want you to look again at verse 15. It says, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Now, the final reaction I see here is out of the scribes and the chief priest. They opposed Jesus because they saw him as a threat. They opposed Jesus because they saw him as a threat. Jesus was a threat to their way of life. Now understand what was going on in the temple at this time. People were coming from distant lands, different areas, and they wanted to worship the Lord with their sacrifices, but it was kind of hard for them to bring doves and sheep and things like that from long distances. So what they would do is they would give money to people there out just outside the temple, and they would pay them for the things that they wanted to offer to the Lord. Now, what they did was the chief priests and the scribes made a rule that it had to be paid for not by Roman money, but by their money, okay? Because Roman money was unholy, okay? So they had a nice money exchanging racket going on. They were kind of like the Fed, you know? They take $2 and give you $1, you know, that kind of deal. So anyways, that's what they had going. They had this money racket going. They had a thing going with the money changers. Okay, you charge this much money and you get to do this, but you got to give us a cut. So this is how things were working out. And it was working out really well for them. They were making their money. They were happy. But Jesus threatened that lifestyle, didn't he? He threatened their lifestyle when he started turning over the tables of the money changers and whipping them out of the temple. Well, that caused them to notice Jesus and oppose him. They didn't like what he was doing, even though he was doing wonderful things, healing people. Well, and even though they knew what they were doing was wrong. So sometimes people, because they don't want to change their lifestyle, because they are threatened by Jesus, will oppose him. And we need to understand that. Are you opposing the Lord because he's threatening your lifestyle? Are you resisting him because you know that if you accept him and his ways, you're going to have to change? Don't do that. Don't resist him. He knows what's best for you. And if you don't, if you do resist him, you're going to end up like the scribes and the Pharisees. You're going to end up like them. You know, they were the most miserable people that day. They couldn't rejoice in the miracles that Jesus was doing. They couldn't rejoice in him as the coming king. They couldn't rejoice in him as an eternal savior. Why? Because they didn't want to change their lifestyle. They didn't want to change. And they saw Jesus as a threat to them. Don't look at Jesus as a threat. He knows what's best for you. He loves you more than anyone in this world. Don't be deceived by the greed and manipulation of this world. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will be much better off. You may be in a situation where you don't feel comfortable. I want you to understand, Jesus will help you. Look to him for your comfort. Take solace in the fact that he has given you eternal life, and you will have comfort and peace within. He wants you to recognize him for the greatness that he has displayed. Let's praise God for who he is. Let's praise Jesus for what he has done. What I'd like us to do today, at the end of the service, which is coming very soon, I want us to come down to the altar and I want us to simply praise God, praise Jesus for what he has done, who he is. Let's praise him for healing. Let's praise him for being an eternal Savior. Let's praise Him for displaying His greatness. And let's submit to Him. Let's submit to Him. Let's say, Jesus, I no longer look at you as a threat to my lifestyle. I want to be a true disciple like these disciples, and I want to just obey you at what you tell me to do. If you will do that, you will have a wonderful life filled with peace and joy. Not that you won't have problems. Oh, you will have problems. You will face trials. But Jesus will help you through it.